We're super excited about what's coming up in January. We're going to be going through the story as a church. So we're going to take 31 weeks, and it's in a chronological order where some of you maybe say, I've never read the whole Bible. I don't know from the back to the front or what. This is your opportunity. I got a text this week from Betty Evans, who's kind of a stay-at-home person with hope, and she came and got her book, and she texted me. She said, I love this. It's so easy to read. I started reading it, and I can't put it down. This is going to be a great year in 2022. I know a lot of folks have said, hey, I've tried to read through the whole Bible this year, and some of us have made it. Some of us are still on track with that, but I'm excited about next year. Let me just mention, too, on your way out, grab one of the invites. Our main service this coming week is Friday. And so Sunday we'll have service online, but Friday night, our Christmas Eve service is going to be exciting. And this is Christmas week. Oh, it's so exciting. And when you think about the whole purpose of Christmas, I think, could be summed up in John 3:16, one of the most famous verses in the Bible. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The whole purpose is that God loves you and you matter. Boy, am I ever having a little bit of bass going on. Can you hear that? Whoa. Yeah. So I read a study recently, and we need to understand whose we are because it affects who we think we are. And a study came out, and maybe you read this, it's from George Barna. It came out just a couple weeks ago, and it says this: loneliness is becoming a major problem in the United States. And it's a problem that seems to be hitting the younger generation the hardest. So people around my age, what we call the boomers, only 19% are struggling with loneliness on a daily basis. For Gen Xers, those would be people like 41 to maybe 55, 33%. But then for the ages below that, the millennials and those, 46% struggle with loneliness on a daily basis. I mean, that's a big deal. And how many people understand that there was a gift given for you because you matter? How many people really understand who they are and what is their identity? I love the logic of the Bible because when God sent his gift, it unfolded and changed everything. This is what Romans chapter 8 says. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? Now, during this time, in the times when people were living, it was hard to be a believer. It was hard to be a Christian. It says, and the scripture says, for your name's sakes, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor our fears for the day, our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Do you know today God sees you? And he cares about you. And he actually is there for you. You were made by God, for God. And it goes on here, it says, no power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. At Christmas, the very first Christmas, the gift was Jesus Christ, and it's a big deal. The love of God actually wants to lift you up. And you know, you've heard people say, oh, the spirit of Christmas, you know, it's about giving, it's about giving. I agree with that to a point, but it's also about receiving. And one of the biggest gifts you will ever be given is why we took communion today. For God loved you and me so much, he died for us. You matter. And so many times people are defined by their failures. They're defined by their fears. They're defined by their faults. Life is, it's not just about what you do. It's not just about what you have. It's not just about who you know. Because it seems like we know more people, we have more things, we're more important, and yet across all of society, we're more depressed, we're more lonely. You know what I love about Christ? He doesn't care what you do to be valuable to him. I mean, guys do this. You know, we never ask, you know, when we meet somebody at work or something, hey, do you care for your family or are you a jerk? No, we say, what do you do? Who cares about who you are? What do you do? And then I can size you up. Okay, do I need to look down at you or am I mad at you because I have to look up at you? Right, we do that kind of thing. And this is so much what I love about Jesus because he's real. You would have thought when Jesus came to earth, I mean, if I would have done it, I'd have come right in the middle of the Super Bowl. Boom, I'm here. And I'd be pointing people out. You know what you've done. Oh, you cut me off last week, top row. Jesus loves you so much, he comes as a baby. And think about this. The first people who were told that Jesus was born were shepherds. All right, think in your mind about a job that's lowly. Harbor Boulevard, I was a teenager. Trailerland Trailer Park. I had one job. Clean all the bathrooms. That was not a great job. Because in those days, they would make me use a pumice stone and get under the rim. And then if everything didn't flow correctly, they had a little thing that you poked into the rim of the toilet so everything flowed correctly. Yeah. And I had a good job at Kentucky Fried Chicken. I liked that job. I mean, my neighborhood loved me. At night, I would ride down Lullaby Lane. I had a basket on the front of my bike. I had a beach cruiser full of chicken. Man, the neighbors would come out. They were so pumped. But I mean, those, like, I'm not saying those were bad jobs. Those are just jobs. But if you think about, okay, this is a job I wouldn't want. In Jesus' time, that job would be a shepherd. I mean, like, you want to talk about dirty jobs, this is the job. A shepherd had very little chance of doing anything other than being a shepherd their entire life. There was one shepherd in the Bible who made it. His name's David. He was actually born in Bethlehem. But the chances of somebody else being a shepherd and making something of themselves other than being a shepherd are next to none. And yet God didn't tell the religious leaders, didn't tell those who had high position. God came to the people that everyone else thought were the trash of society. And because of the love of God, he said, let me lift you up. I see you out in the fields. Well, this is how it's recorded in the book of Luke. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Now you can just imagine. It's night, they're shepherds. It's been a long day. They're sleeping kind of with one eye open because they don't want some animal to come and attack their sheep. I'm sorry, I'm laughing in my head because I said that would be a bad idea. Okay. What goes through your mind? Bad idea. Okay. And so it says, and they were terrified. Well, would you not be terrified? Of course you would. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. And he probably said, don't worry, I'm not here to kill you. I just wanted to hang out. They're hallucinating. They've been around the sheep too long. Check out what it says. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men to whom his favor rests. I don't know how you're feeling about you today, but I want you to know God absolutely sees you. He knows you. He wants you to understand that you are of the utmost value to him, that he actually allowed his son to die in your place. It goes on and it says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, hey, let's go see what happened. I mean, who wouldn't? Do you get this? It was the gift that was given, but it was also the gift that was received. So they hurry off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. I love this because in Jesus's day, nobody ever would think that an angel would appear to a shepherd. I mean, they were despised. They weren't able to go to the religious services. They were out in the field. They were dirty. They didn't go through the cleansing rituals. Let me tell you something that really, really matters. Not knowing whose you are is definitely connected to understanding who you are. If you don't understand that God absolutely cares about you, that you are of value, you were created by God for the things of God. Andreas, I love that you sent me an invite to the Christmas Eve service. I was like, dude, he's so excited to invite somebody. He invited me. I'm like, I'm coming. I loved it. I'm like, wait a minute. He just sent me an invite to our Christmas Eve service. What a good guy. Here's what happens to so many of us, and this is why we're so desperate, and we don't even know what to do about it. Because we don't understand how much we are loved and that God wants to lift us up, God wants to give us an identity, we succumb to the culture. And instead of relying upon God for identity, we rely upon things for identity. And the problem is when those things disappear, we lose our identity. You know, just for a moment, ask yourself right now, what is your identity based upon? Is it how many likes you can get on TikTok, on Instagram, on Facebook? I mean, most people, like I said, they get their identity from what they do. You know, people are like, hey, who are you? I'm an accountant, I'm a plumber, I'm this. No, you're not. That's what you do. Is that really who you are? Some people try to get their identity from relationships. And that's all messed up. We have an absolute identity crisis in America. When I was doing one of my closest friends' funerals a week ago, a teenager who we've known since they were really little, she goes, "Pastor Jim, do you know what's going on in my high school?" I said, "No." They said, "There's one of my classmates, it's a girl, and she has identified herself as a cat." "No, I'm not kidding. And she wears cat ears and she meows. Meow." "And the school board is having discussions about whether or not to have a litter box in the restroom." I'm not kidding. This is not funny. People are serious about this stuff. And I thought, okay, where could that come from? You know, when I was a kid, there was like a couple categories, like LGBTQ. It wasn't like all of those categories. And now there's a plus. And so I Googled it this week, and I'm not putting anybody down or anything, but I want you to understand, we have a crisis. If you think you're important by what you do, you're not, because someday you're going to get fired. There's great people in this church who've been excellent workers somewhere in our community that employs a lot of people, and they've been fired. If you think it's what you have, what happens when what you have breaks? If you think it's who you know, listen, the LGBTQ plus now includes LGBTTTQQIAA plus. I'm not making fun of anybody or anything, because you're going to say, "Jim, do you not care about people?" I love people and I love everybody, but I'm telling you, there's a crisis in America. And you may think I'm mean, but if I had a three-year-old daughter and she started to swim at 3 years old, and she just did her very best, very best, very best, very best, and then she went to college and she made the swim team. I mean, do you understand science? I can promise you there is no scientific evidence, because of anatomy, that a female will ever beat a male in swimming. It doesn't happen. And there will never be a female linebacker because of upper body strength. But picture your daughter at Penn State, one of the best swimmers on the team, and now there's a new person who says, "I'm no longer a male, I'm a female," and he's beating, she or he is beating everyone. You say, "Jim, you're not sensitive." I'm sensitive to the girl who, since she's 3 years old, has been really trying to swim. And this particular girl, guy at Penn State, is going to be soon breaking the world records that women have set, biological women. Now, "Jim, how can you be so insensitive?" I'm not being insensitive. But I mean, there's not one category now. There's a lot of categories. And the category that I found that fits this girl trying to become a cat is a gender variant category. And I don't know, pretty soon we're going to have the entire alphabet. And here's the problem. We don't know whose we are. We don't understand that God died for us and he has a plan for our life. And no matter what you do to fill that plan, your heart is still going to ache, because God is the one who created you. And we don't get that. And I'm not being insensitive. But I'm so thankful I don't have a daughter at Penn State who's looking at me and say, "Dad, why don't you do something? Is this fair?" Of course it's fair. Everyone has to be fair. We don't trust the science, because the science says there's a difference. But we're just going to keep adding letters. Friends, where do you go to find your identity? Where do you go? Again, some people, their identity is in absolutely what they have. Oh, I've met people who think they're so important because of the things they own. Well, you'll never have what I have. Well, you're right. Does it mean I'm not important? You can't buy what I buy. You're right. Does that mean like I don't work? Do you get what happened in the New Testament? Jesus came as a baby. And the news about Jesus being born was told to the shepherds. The shepherds, once they connected with God and realized whose they were, who they were, became totally different. It's the best gift you could ever be given at Christmas. I'm going to give you a little advice. As a pastor who, if any of you know me, you know I love you. I care about you. I'm just in awe that God allows me the privilege to hang out with you and to be your pastor. But let me give you a little bit of advice. Never base your identity on something you can lose. Google the story about the San Diego Padres chicken, the mascot. Super sad. He was a chicken for all this time, and he was a really good mascot, a really great chicken, but then he retired. And he said, I have no idea who I am. I've always been the chicken. I've always been a mascot. What happened? What happens to some of our people that we highly esteem in sports when they have to retire? Their life crash and burns because their identity is not wrapped up in whose they are, which affects who they are. It's in what they do. And when what they do is taken away, then they no longer have an identity. So what are you saying? I'm saying this. The only thing that can't be taken away from you is the fact that God absolutely unconditionally loves you. And his plan was to lift you up. If you want to have a true identity, a permanent identity, you receive it from God and you build on that. You know what? I know that I'll never have a Ferrari. I mean, I'm not asking you to, oh, I feel sorry for you, Jim. Let me just give you one. Okay, maybe I will because of your generosity. But the fact is, I probably won't. The truth is, I'm never going to be as smart as our kids are. And my wife is way smarter than all of us. The truth is, I got a little fatter this year. And only one of you called me out on it. Matter of fact, it was Jonathan. He goes, Pastor, what's up with you? Nothing. You see, here's what happens in life. Last year, I lost a little bit of weight. But when Sharon and I had COVID this summer, we just ate whatever we could. And let me just tell you a little secret. Slim chickens doesn't make you slim. I like the slim meal. It makes me feel good, even ordering it. I'd like the slim meal. They should call it the plump meal. And it's just been a little cookie here. And another cookie here. And then two donuts on Friday. That's none of your business. And what happens with just a little bit over time, I have put on 8 pounds. You're like, it looks like more than that. Well, good. Maybe it is. But here's, I don't want to stand on the judge right now. Do you know why I don't want to stand on the judge? Because I don't want to be judged. But Jonathan was nice enough. He loves me. Like, Pastor, a little fat, aren't you? I mean, he's just so kind, a brother in Christ. But this is what happens. We buy into everything that's not true. Why are so many of our young people taking their lives? Why are so many of our young people right now feeling lonely every day? Because we're trying, We're trying to lose weight by eating cookies. Now, Jack, I love that fudge that you gave me. I loved it more than I should. Oh, it was from Donna? Well, tell Donna I loved that fudge, lots of it. But I can't eat fudge all the time and not expect a reaction. It's science, right? We love to trust science when it's convenient. God created science. And he created you because you matter. And sometimes we get a pretty big punch in life. And we question us and we question God. And if we base our life on something that can go away, it makes it really hard. And life is not fair. If you want a true identity, you have to understand that the only permanent identity that you can actually sink your teeth in for a long time that's going to work is receiving the gift of Christmas that came the very first Christmas. It's called Jesus Christ. For God so loved you, he gave his son that anybody, everybody, everybody's invited. Everybody's invited that you would have eternal life, not only heaven, but you would have a life worth living here on earth. Nobody can take that from you. I just love understanding the simplicity of the Bible. Listen to what it says. He died for everyone. So that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. That's where we get in trouble. Love isn't about what I can take, it's about what I can give. That originated with God Almighty. That's why we're lonely. Hey, that's about me. It's about me, and everyone's offended. I know I've offended somebody today. Maybe come back next week and I can do it again. Keep going. It's okay. You're allowed to tell me I'm fat and I'm eating too much. You know why? Because you care about me. And I go see my doctor this week. And you know what he's going to say? Yeah, a little too much slim chicken, fat boy. And I'm going to say, you're right. I know, after the first of the year, if I survive, I will change my ways. Let's get back to the Bible. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ, check this out, has become a new person. The old is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation, so we are Christ ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for your sins, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Friends, here's what I want you to hear today. Here's what I want you to grasp. We try so many things to become happy, and we're not happy. And now new research has come out that it's really pushing hard on our young people. It's pushing hard on our young people because the older people like me don't have a clue who we are. Don't have a clue. And I just got to get more. If I got more, then someone's going to see me better. And if they see me better, well, I'm going to be important. And you're not. And we base our identity on things that can be taken from us. And then we have nothing. What have we done in our society? We've based our identity on what we do. We've based our identity on what we own. We've based our identity on who we know, and quite frankly, who we know is getting really messed up. How come we have so many different identity crises? How come there's like 15 letters that explain us? I don't get that. And I'm not insensitive. I'm very sensitive. I'm sensitive to somebody telling me I'm fat and I need to do something about it. I need to be told what's right because people love me enough they want to keep me alive. I don't want you living depressed. I don't want you living beat up and broken because you don't have enough, because you didn't make enough, because you didn't do enough, because you weren't tall enough, fast enough, smart enough. I want you to know it has to do with who is in your balcony. It's God Almighty. But we don't have time to talk to God Almighty because we're too busy trying to become Almighty. If I'm mad, I'm mad at the devil. Because he's so good at this. Hey, Eve, God's holding back on you. You think God really loves you? If he loved you, he would let you eat from every tree. God gave us a choice. I wished he wouldn't have. Then we could just be like little robots and do it all right. But he gave us a choice to reject him or to accept him. That way we know it's from us. Well, the devil's so smart. He said, Eve, God doesn't like you. He's holding back. And God wasn't holding back. Here's what we don't understand. We don't understand that we can probably do about anything, but we can't get away from the consequences of what we do. And we build our lives on things we think matter, and when we realize they don't matter, that's rough on us. When we build our lives and our identity on something that can be taken away, and unfortunately those things can be taken away, we're absolutely beyond devastated. I love y'all so much. It's such an honor to be your pastor. I want to pray a prayer for you. It's a prayer that was prayed over 2,000 years ago. And I want you to understand that my prayer for you is kind of like a little Christmas gift for you. You matter. God sees you. God cares about you. The pain that you're feeling is a pain that he feels. The struggle that you're struggling with is a struggle he wants you to talk to him about. The life and the success that you want, he wants the very best for you. But you have to know whose you are. And when you figure out whose you are, it really helps knowing who you are. God created you for his purposes. And it's a shame, a terrible shame, that we're not able to say that more to more people. And the result of that are young people right now today, over 40% of them feeling lonely and desperate because it seems like there's nothing that really works in this world. Let me pray this prayer for you and then we'll sing one more song together. God, thank you for the book of Ephesians. I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. I pray that you will be able to feel, not just know, but you'll be able to feel and understand how long, how wide, how deep, how high God's love is for you. And may you experience this love for yourself. God, I thank you. How easily we are deceived. How easy it is to worship things that have been created and forget about the Creator. How desperate we are, and yet we don't know what to do. And you have not only given us life in Christ, you've not only given us purpose, you literally have a plan for our lives. God, I pray today, whoever's feeling down, that they would understand you're here to lift them up. Whoever has not received Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, into their heart for the forgiveness of their sins, God, I pray that we would accept you, that we would say, Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me of my sins. Help me become the CEO of my life. And God, I pray for every young person in America. I can barely comprehend that that many feel lonely on a daily basis. I pray, Lord, that I would be able to share love with them, that I would be able to tell them they have a purpose. They have a purpose. Lord, help us, I pray. And thank you, Jesus, for the best gift we could have ever been given. Amen. Let's stand together.